Brother, there are many people listed in the Bible that when we hear their names, we know instantly who they are. For instance, when we hear the name Moses, we have no doubt who Moses is, or the name Abraham. Again, we know there's only one Abraham, the father of the faithful. Same with his wife, Sarah. We all know who Sarah is. And we can go down a line of well-known people in the Bible. Names like Isaac, Rebekah, David, Ruth, Noah, Esther, Daniel. And it continues in the New Testament with Peter, John, Matthew, Paul, Luke. We know exactly who it's talking about when we hear those names. But sometimes there are some people in the Bible who share the same name. Some are well known, while others are basically unknown. They just share the same name with others listed in the Bible. As some of you may remember, over the years, I've given a number of sermons that I call People of the Bible sermons. And it's been a while since I've done a new one, so I thought it's about time to do one. Because I don't know about you, but I enjoy learning more about people listed in the Bible. And there are so many to choose from. And there are so many lessons we can learn from them and about them. Now, by the introduction, you probably figured out that the name I've chosen to speak on today, there's more than one person with that name. So if you are thinking that, then you're absolutely correct. The name that we will look at today is one that is very familiar to all of us. And with this name, it's a very important name in the New Testament, as we'll see. So let me introduce the name by turning to Luke 6, verse 16. Luke 6, verse 16. Let's take a brief look, a very brief look, at one of the unknown people who shares this name with some well-known people in the Bible. Luke 6, let's read verse 13 first. Luke 6, verse 13, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And verse 16, Judas, the son of James. One of the apostles. What do we know about this James? Well, he was the father of Judas, not talking about Iscariot here. And this Judas was one of the 12, original 12 apostles. So this James is the father of an apostle. Anything else about him that we know? No, basically that's it. However, by hearing the name James, most likely we thought of other men named James mentioned in the New Testament. And it is those other James who we'll be primarily looking at today. And these James that we'll look at today have more written about them in the pages of our Bibles. And we are going to learn more about them as we go over their lives because we want to learn from their lives, whether it's something good or something not so good. We want to learn from them. But first, let's start by looking at the meaning of the name James. Because its meaning actually tells us something about the name James as it relates to another name of the Bible. Why? Because James is the Latin form of the Hebrew word or name Yaakov. Or in English, we would say Jacob. And we're very familiar with the name Jacob, aren't we? In fact, let's turn back to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 25, verse 26. Let's see the name and what it means, the name Jacob. Genesis 25, verse 26. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. And my margin says supplanter. And Nelson's Bible Dictionary states it means he supplants. And of course, as we know, Jacob supplanted his firstborn brother and twin, Esau. And the name James means supplanter, as does Jacob. So James and Jacob are basically the same name. Of course, in English, we use both names. So with brothers, you can have one brother named Jacob and another brother named James, even though they mean the same thing. In the complete Jewish Bible, the Epistle of James is called the Epistle of Yaakov, or as we would say, the Epistle of Jacob. But of course, we use the anglicized name, James. And today we will be specifically looking at three James listed in the New Testament. Let's go back to Luke 6. Let's go back there again, and let's look at two of the James that we'll be looking at today. And we'll see that both of them were included in the 12 original apostles. Sometimes we can forget that there were two apostles named James that Jesus chose. Luke 6, verse 13. On this day he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, as we read earlier, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. So we have James and James, two of the original 12 apostles, personally selected by Jesus. Now let's take a look at the third James that we'll be looking at today. Let's go over to Matthew. Matthew 13, verses 54 and 55. And this will tell us who this James was. Matthew 13, verse 54. When he, referring to Jesus, had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?" So Jesus had a brother, actually a half-brother, named James. And it's thought that this James was next oldest brother, since he is listed first here. Of course, Jesus being the oldest. Now let's go to the Gospel of John, John 7, verse 5. John 7, verse 5. And let's read a statement about this James, as well as his other brothers, all half-brothers of Jesus. John 7, verse 5. "For even his brothers did not believe in him." So Jesus' brothers did not believe in him, at least at this time. And we'll go back and look at this James a little later in the sermon. Let's go back to the two apostles named James as we learn more about them. Let's go back to Matthew again. This time Matthew 10 verses 2 and 3. Matthew 10 verses 2 and 3. And then we'll ask some questions regarding all three James. Matthew 10 verses 2 and 3. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. So looking at the first James listed as an apostle, we see that his brother John was also an apostle. In fact, there are at least, or were at least, two sets of brothers who were apostles. James and John, and also Peter and Andrew. And I said there were at least two sets of brothers who were apostles. Why did I put it that way? Because some feel that there may have been three sets of brothers who were apostles. So what other two apostles are they referring to that may have been brothers? And since we are talking about James, yes, the other James is one of them. In verse 3 of Matthew 10, it says the other James is the son of Alphaeus. And being the son of Alphaeus is why some feel that the brother of this James may also have been an apostle. But just looking at the list of apostles here in Matthew, we don't see any other listed as the son of Alphaeus. Well, not there we don't. But it wasn't uncommon in Jesus' day for many Jews to have two names, their Jewish or Hebrew name and a Greek Gentile name. Of course, we know Peter went by two names. He was also called Simon. Saul was also called Paul. Saul being the Hebrew name and Paul being the Gentile or Roman name in this case. Well, another well-known apostle also had another name, the Greek name that we primarily know him by and his Hebrew name. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark to notice something else about this particular apostle. Mark 2, verse 14. Mark 2, verse 14. As he passed by, this is talking about Jesus, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. And as we know, Levi is the other name that Matthew the apostle, Matthew the tax collector, went by. Matthew was his Greek name, and Levi is the Hebrew name. And you can also see that in Luke 5, verse 27. And notice that Levi, or Matthew, was the son of Alphaeus. The second apostle, James' father, was also named Alphaeus. So based on that, some feel that Matthew and James were also brothers, like Peter and Andrew, and James and John. However, as we've seen, Peter and Andrew and James and John are specifically called brothers in the gospel accounts, but Matthew and the other James are never mentioned as being brothers. So we can't prove that they were brothers by scripture. Just because their fathers had the same name is not proof. Many men had the same name, such as the name James, as we're going to see today. But either way, that still leaves us with three James to examine. Now, when we hear the name James in the context of the New Testament, we probably first think of one of the apostles named James, or we think of one of the brothers of Jesus named James. But what else may come to our minds about the name James? Well, let's ask some questions and see. For instance, which James was at what is called the Transfiguration? Which James was one of the sons of thunder? Which James wrote the epistle of James? Which James was the first apostle to be martyred? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray," but Jesus took three of his apostles with him. One was James. Which James was it? The epistle of Jude was written by the brother of James. But which James? At the Jerusalem conference, James seemed to be a leader in Jerusalem. What James was it? Well, brother, we're going to answer these questions and more as we look at these three James. So let's start with the first question that was asked, the question about the Transfiguration. Let's go back to Matthew again. This time, Matthew 17, we'll pick it up in verse 1. Matthew's account makes it clear which James was at the Transfiguration. And let's also review the Transfiguration so to make sure just everybody is familiar with what it actually was. Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on the high mountain by themselves. So we're specifically told that this James here was the brother of John. And if you notice that whenever James and his brother John are mentioned together, James is always mentioned first. And it's thought that's so because he was the older brother, because that was the custom back then to list the oldest children or oldest brothers by name, as in the case with Jesus and his brothers. Let's continue in verse 2 as we read about this amazing event that James witnesses, as well as his brother John and Peter. Verse 2, "And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." And the apostle James, with his brother John and fellow apostle Peter, were witnesses of this great event that we call the Transfiguration. Now let's look at which James was one of the sons of thunder. Let's go back to Mark 3. Mark 3. The sons of thunder. Who were they? By the topic of the sermon, we know that one of the James was one of the sons of thunder. But you know, to me anyway, if we had never heard of the sons of thunder before, personally, I would have chosen Peter to have been one of them. I would have said, yeah, Peter has to be one of the sons of thunder. But he's not. Mark 3, verse 17. And this is the only place where the brothers are called sons of thunder. Mark 3, let's pick it up in verse 14. Mark 3, verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. And again, we see that James is mentioned before John. But why were they called sons of thunder? Jesus never gives an answer. Let's ask ourselves this. What type of person comes to mind when you hear him called son of thunder? Definitely is not a mild manner, shy, quiet type of God, not at all. What type of a guy? When you hear a clap of thunder, that gets your attention, doesn't it? Got some of your attention, just my clapping my hands. Well, a son of thunder would also get our attention. Let's turn to a couple of other scriptures to get an idea of the type of personality that James and John had to be called sons of thunder. Let's see what their, a bit of, at least, of what their character was like. So we would get an idea of that name, sons of thunder. Let's go to Luke, Luke 9 verse 54. Luke 9 verse 54. And I can easily see sons of thunder saying this. Luke 9, let's pick it up in verse 52. Luke 9, verse 52. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. And he said these things to them. The scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine about many things, lying in wait. Okay, let me go back to Luke 9, verse 54, instead of Luke 12. Those are very interesting scriptures that I also wanted to share with you. I was wondering, where's it getting to the part where I wanted to point out? Ah, okay, try this again. Luke 9, verse 52. And sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did?" Thunder calling for lightning, a forceful duo. And that was also James and his brother John. They were also a forceful duo. Now let's look at Mark 10, verse 35. Mark 10, verses 35 through 37. Let's see again the boldness of the sons of thunder. Mark 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." Yes, it's wonderful to seek the kingdom of God. But here they were, quite frankly, being a bit selfish. Yes, it was a bold request, but they asked in the wrong attitude. And Jesus corrected them. And then in verse 41, we see the other apostles did not appreciate their request. Let's read that, verse 41 here. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. So the other apostles, including the other James, were not happy with the sons of thunder. But this was part of their character. James and his brother John were like that. And you know, their boldness also helped them later in doing the work of God. They were bold before they received the Holy Spirit, and no doubt they were bolder after they received the Holy Spirit. And yes, they were bold in preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. As 2 Timothy 1:7 states, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." And James and his brother John used that power. Now let's turn to the Epistle of James and see which James wrote it. Epistle of James. We'll look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. James 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by the greeting, it could be any of the three James. All three would have said they were the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, how can we tell which James wrote it? Well, we can't, not with 100% certainty. The consensus is that James, the brother of Jesus, wrote it. Tradition also states it was James, the brother of Jesus. And the Church of God for many years has believed and taught that it was written by the Lord's brother named James. So why think that? Well, it's been brought out about the simplicity of the introduction, that there was no need for James to say that he was the brother of Jesus because everyone knew who he was. He was well known in Jerusalem and well known as the Lord's brother. Various sources will also state that the epistle also shows the great reverence for the law, which would be consistent with the background of James, the brother of Jesus. And also, if the apostles, one of the apostles named James had written it, he would have probably added that he was an apostle, such as Peter did in his epistles. Let me read what Peter wrote in his two epistles. 1 Peter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know Paul, in most of his epistles, writes that he was an apostle. But again, the consensus is that the author is James, the brother of Jesus. And regarding the epistle of James, the Jewish New Testament commentary states, Yaakov, meaning James, remember, was not only a slave of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, or Jesus the Messiah, but also his brother. So let's go on to our next question that was asked earlier. Let's see which James was martyred. Let's go back to Acts 12, verse 2. Acts 12, verse 2. And we'll see it specifically states which James was killed. Acts 2 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And verse 2, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So the epistle, or the apostle James, the brother of the apostle John, was martyred by Herod. And it's thought to have been in 44 A.D., and the epistle of James was written after that. So that's why James, the brother of John, couldn't have written the epistle of James. So the question of which James was martyred is an easy one to answer if we simply just read the book. But talking about James the apostle, James the martyr, James the son of thunder, let's read verse 3 of Acts 12. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he being Herod, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. And that was during the days of unleavened bread. the Jews hated these new Christians, hated the Church of God, and they convinced Herod the king to help them to eliminate these followers of Jesus. And James, a leading apostle, suffered the fate of a martyr. And I'm sure James was threatened about preaching Jesus the Christ before this by Herod, before Herod decided to kill him. He no doubt was warned about spreading the gospel message of the kingdom of God. Remember, James was a son of thunder. He was not to be stopped in doing the work of God, not by threats or persecution, and he was not intimidated. There was only one way that Herod was going to stop him, and Herod used that way. And James, the apostle, gave the ultimate for Christ, his life. In the process, he set all of us an example. And to me, at least, it's interesting that this James was the first original apostle to die for Christ, while his brother John was the last original apostle to die for Christ. Now, since this James was also one of the sons of thunder, I thought it'd be interesting to look at something else regarding the sons of thunder, James and John. Let's also include their mother. Please turn to Matthew 27, verse 55. Matthew 27, verse 55. And of course, this is at the crucifixion. Let's take a couple of minutes to look at who James and John and their mother may have been. Matthew 27, verses 55 through 56. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out?" Page over. Matthew 27. And these are new glasses, so I don't know what the problem is. Matthew 27, verse 55. "And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons." And Zebedee's sons were James and John. So, James and John's mother was at the crucifixion. Now, James wasn't there, but we know that his brother John was. Now, we won't turn there, but Mark 15:40 states a woman named Salome was also at the crucifixion. But let's do turn to John 19, verse 25. John 19, verse 25. Let's read John's account of the crucifixion, or a bit of it. John 19, verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." So Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, as we know, and Mary's sister was there. Matthew said that James and John's mother was there. Mark says a woman by the name of Salome was there. Could that be the name of Mary's sister? It may have been. But do we also see what else this may mean when you put it all together? It may mean that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and James and John's mother may have been the sister that they're referring to. Mary's sister was there. And you can check some sources, and they specifically say, yes, they were sisters. Mary and John and James' mother were sisters. Which, if so, would have made Jesus, James, and John first cousins. And that would have meant that James and John were asking their cousin Jesus to put them at his right hand and left hand in the kingdom. And their mother was asking her nephew, Jesus, to do the same, if Mary's sister was also the mother of the apostles James and John. Just something else to think about James and his brother John, the sons of thunder. Again, it's still one of those things you cannot prove conclusively, but when you put all that together, Mary's sister was there, and John's and James' mother was there. That good possibility. That's who they're referring to. Let's answer our next question that was asked. This is about James regarding being in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Let's go turn back to Mark again. Let's go to Mark 14, verses 32 and 33. Now, Gethsemane means olive press. And it's known as the garden where Jesus went to pray just before he was arrested. And Gethsemane is situated on the Mount of Olives, but its exact location is not known today. I guess the people who went there on the trip, they'll say, yes, this is the area where the Garden of Gethsemane may have been, and just like, this is the garden tomb. You ever seen those? Say, how do they know that's the tomb that Jesus was in? But, exact location is not known today. Now, of course, all the disciples were with Jesus when he came to Gethsemane, all except Judas Iscariot, who came later to the garden with the chief priests, scribes, and others to arrest Jesus. But Jesus took three apostles with him as he prayed. One was James. Mark 14, verses 32 and 33. Then they came to a place which is named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and began to be troubled and deeply distressed. So this James is John's brother. Whenever you see James and John's name mentioned together like that, it's referring to the two brothers. It's referring to the sons of thunder. And as we know, they couldn't stay awake while Jesus prayed. Verse 37, then he came in and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Another thing that hopefully we've noticed down through the years, that when you read the four Gospels, Peter and the two brothers, James and John, are shown to be the leaders among the apostles. Now let's turn back to the Epistle of Jude and see something else about one of the James. The Epistle of Jude is just before the book of Revelation, and there's only one chapter, so it's just Jude 1. That's what we're going to read. Jude 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So Jude was the brother of James, but of course the question is, which James? Well, first, let me read a part of the introduction to the Epistle of Jude from my New King James Bible. It says, talking about the name Jude, this name, which can be translated Jude or Judas, was popular in the first century because of Judas Maccabeus, a leader of the Jewish resistance against Syria. Unger's Bible Dictionary states this about the name Jude. It states, the brother of James, an author of the last of the general epistles, usually identified with Judas. We read earlier in Matthew's account, naming the brothers of James, Jesus, to see that James was one of his brothers. Well, let's turn to Mark's account, Mark 6, verse 3. Let's look at another name of another brother of Jesus. Mark 6, verse 3. Mark 6, verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Judas, or Jude, the author of the Epistle of Jude, was also Jesus and James' brother. Of course, Jesus' half-brother and James' full-brother. We mentioned earlier about a James being a leader at the Jerusalem conference. Let's go to that question. Which James was the leader in the Jerusalem conference? Let's go back to Acts 15 and see that. Acts 15, and we'll pick it up in verse 2. Which James will we be reading about here? I'll give you a clue. Earlier we read that about James being martyred. And this James was the brother of John. Do you remember where we read that? It was in Acts 12, verse 2. So James, the brother of John, was martyred before the Jerusalem conference described here in Acts 15. So that narrows it down. So we know that it's either the other James, the apostle, or it's James, the brother of law of Jesus that we'll read about here in Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 2. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Verse 4. When they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. Verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And drop down to verse 12. Of course, this is talking about circumcision, whether or not it was required. Then all the, in verse 12, then all the multitudes kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God had at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. In verse 19, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. So we see this James is making the final decision at the conference, but the question still is, which James is it? Now in verse 6, it says the apostles and elders were there at the conference. So that tells us that the other apostle James, the son of Alphaeus, would most likely have been there with the other apostles. So was he the one speaking in verses 13 through 21? Or was it James, the Lord's brother? Or is it one of those where the some Bible scholars feel it's this James and others feel it's that James? And in other words, we can't be 100% sure of which James. So which is it? I will say this, though. I checked 10 or so sources, and a couple of the sources made no mention of which James it was, but all the other sources, all of them said it was James, the Lord's brother. Not one said it was the other James, the son of Alphaeus. And also, if you've noticed, the other James, the apostle, the son of Alphaeus, is only mentioned by name when the names of the other original apostles are listed. He doesn't seem to be mentioned specifically by name anywhere else. Of course, he's included with the other apostles throughout the Gospels. He was there with Jesus during his 3.5-year ministry. He witnessed much of what is written in the Gospel of accounts. But this James, the son of Alphaeus, seems to be in the background, much like the apostles Bartholomew or Simon the Zealot or Judas, the son of James. Remember, we mentioned him. Not very well known. We don't know much about them except that they were apostles. But let's turn back to Matthew 19, verse 28. Matthew 19, verse 28. In case anyone is starting to feel sorry for the other apostle, James, the son of Alphaeus, let's read what Jesus Christ said to all the disciples, all the apostles, including this James. Matthew 19, verse 27. We'll read verses 27 and 28. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The other apostle, James, the son of Alphaeus, will sit on one of those 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He won't be in the background then. I think we could all say, well done, James. But again, let's try to answer the question of which James was a leader at the Jerusalem conference. Of course, everything seems to be pointing at James, the Lord's brother. And Paul does give that indication that it was James, the brother of Jesus. Let's go back to Galatians 1. Galatians 1 verses 18-9. Of course, this is Paul's letter to the Galatians. And what we'll read here is before the Jerusalem conference. Galatians 1 verses 18 and 19. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. And I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So, one thing we can notice here, that James, the Lord's brother, is also called an apostle. As, of course, Paul and Barnabas were also apostles, but they were not part of the original 12 apostles chosen by Jesus. In Galatians 2, Paul writes of another visit to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And this visit does point to the time of the Jerusalem conference. Galatians 2, let's pick it up in verse 1. After 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I may run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Drop down to verse 7. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. And it mentions James here. Notice this James is listed before Peter and John. Remember, John's brother James had already been martyred. But relating back to Galatians 2:9, it's still Peter, John, and James who were the leading apostles. But now one of the leaders is James, the Lord's brother. And of course, the main topic of the Jerusalem conference described in Acts 15 was circumcision, going along with what Paul is writing here in Galatians. So we have James, James, and James. We've been talking about three James of the New Testament. And it turns out all three were apostles. So how about we title this sermon, The Three Apostle James? I think that would be appropriate. Let's ask a bonus question about James, referring to James, the brother of Jesus. Remember how we introduced him in Matthew 13? And we read that he had brothers and sisters, and his brothers were named. Then in John 7, we read that at the time, Jesus' brothers, including James, did not believe in him and who he was. So a question many have is, when did James come to believe that his brother Jesus was the Christ? Well, let's see if we can tell, because from what we read so far, we do know that James and at least his brother Jude did come to believe in Jesus as the Christ. First, let's go back to the Gospel of John. John 19, verse 25. John 19, we'll read verses 25 through 28. Let's ask a question about something that Jesus did just before he died. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sisters, we read earlier, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, which of course was John, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." So all things that he had to accomplish were done. And he was ready to die. And in verse 30, he does die. So when Jesus has received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit, his spirit. And all things being accomplished also included his mother Mary being taken care of. Or as we may put it today, Jesus' last official act before he died was to see to his mother. Jesus was the eldest son, and it was his responsibility to see that his mother was cared for. Now, after his death, the responsibility should have gone to the next oldest son, in this case, James. But there is no indication from the gospel accounts that James or any of his brothers were there at the crucifixion with their mother, at the crucifixion of their brother Jesus. So what did Jesus do? Well, he entrusted the care of his mother to the disciple whom he loved, which was John, who possibly could have been his first cousin. So therefore, Jesus may still have been keeping it in the family. But the point or the assumption to be made is that James did not believe that his brother Jesus was the Christ at this time. But let's look at Acts 1, verses 13 and 15. Let's turn there, please. Acts 1, verses 13 and 15. Let's read something and notice this about James and his brothers after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Acts 1, verses 13 and 15. When they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, referring to the women at the crucifixion, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples, and altogether the number of names was about 120. So we see that James and his brothers were part of the 120. So sometime after the resurrection, James and his brothers believed that their brother Jesus was the Christ. And then in Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So James, his brothers, and their mother were there. And on Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit, along with the 12 apostles. Matthias had replaced Judas Iscariot. Now let's turn to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 7. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 7. Because this is a strong clue as to when and why James accepted his brother as the Christ. Because now we know that he did. We're trying to find out when. It had to have been before or after the crucifixion and before that Pentecost. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 7. That he was seen by Cephas, referring to Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some had fallen asleep. After that, he, again referring to Jesus, was seen by James, then by all the apostles. So now in verse 5, the 12 refers to 11 original apostles and Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot. And since the two original apostles named James are included in the 12 in verse 5, over here in verse 7, that James would be referring to James, the brother of Jesus. And Jesus appeared to him. So we can conclude that James came to Christ after seeing his brother resurrected from the dead. Can you imagine how that meeting went when suddenly James sees the brother who knew was crucified, sees him alive? I have no doubt it would have been very emotional for James to see his brother, whom at one time he rejected, to see him resurrected as the Christ. And now James believed. Now he had faith. Now he had the faith. And as we read, he went on to become an apostle. An apostle. apostle of Christ. He went on to become a leader in the Jerusalem church. No doubt he helped many come to Christ. He went on to become the author of the epistle that is now part of Scripture, part of the Bible, the very Word of God. James, a man who once scoffed at his brother Jesus, who once rejected him, now lived for his brother Jesus the Christ. Of course, another question arises from this is, what about the sisters of Jesus? Who were also the sisters of James and, of course, the daughters of Mary. We just read that his brothers, talking about Jesus' brothers and mother, received the Holy Spirit. So we know they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But what about his sisters? What happened to them? Did they accept their brother Jesus as their Savior? Did they receive the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost along with their mother and brothers? Or to ask the question in the way most of today's Christianity would ask it, did they get saved? Or are they lost? If they're lost, some today would condemn them to hellfire. Now, Scripture is silent on what happened to the sisters of Jesus. Of course, most likely they were married at this time, and they would have been living in their husband's household, which may have included their husband's family members. They may have still been in Nazareth when their brother Jesus was crucified and then resurrected. But looking at this belief of so many Christian churches today that everyone needs to get saved now, if that's the case, wouldn't Jesus have wanted to do all he could to make sure all of his family got saved? Again, talking about how most of today's Christianity looks at getting saved. After all, according to many, Jesus got his mother and brothers saved. They're listed as in the Bible as being saved or receiving the Holy Spirit. Did he just ignore his sisters? Because, you know, there's no more mention of his sisters in Scripture. After his resurrection, he could have easily appeared to them, too, to show them that he rose from the dead. But nothing else is mentioned about his sisters. But, of course, as we know, God's Word tells us the truth of God's plan of salvation. And the day will come when all, including the sisters of Jesus, will learn the way to salvation. One day, Jesus' sisters will see their brother as he is, as the Christ. And they will also be reunited with James and the rest of their brothers, and of course, their mother Mary. As we know, brethren, God's plan of salvation is merciful. God's plan of salvation is wonderful. God's plan of salvation is fair. You know, one of the things that stands out to me about the three Apostle James is that no matter what their lives were before Christ, no matter what they did before Christ, what mattered was that after Christ, they did the work of God and they did it in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we read, one died as a martyr doing the work that Jesus taught him. What does that mean for us, for you and me today? Well, for us, brethren, no matter what we were before Christ, no matter what we did before Christ, what matters now is that after Christ is who we are. That's what matters. What matters now after Christ is what we do, how we live our lives. And we are to follow the example of the three apostles, James, and do the work of God. And as they did, do it in the name of Jesus Christ, so that we too will fulfill our callings as Christians. The three apostles, James, taught us an example. They set us an example. And when Christ returns, they will be there in the air to meet him. To meet their Savior, to meet their elder brother. And for one of the James, that term elder brother has a double meaning. And brethren, we're planning on being there with them, aren't we? That's going to be some meet and greet on that day, isn't it? And I know all of us are anxiously awaiting that day. But in the meantime, brethren, what are we to do? Well, let's turn to the epistle of James and close by having James, the brother of Jesus, tell us what all of us, what we should be doing at this time. James 5, verses 7 and 8. James 5, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. In verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And may he come soon. Brethren, good Sabbath.